I want to thank you for your support. I don't think I said that earlier, but I truly appreciate it. Mary's House appreciates it. Your support is what will take me or take Mary's House further. Mary's House was came about in the late 1990s, 1996. Okay. 1998 is when clients first moved in, so we're looking at about 20 years, 21 years we've been moving forward. Mary's House is named after Mary Magdalene, the woman that Jesus befriended. A lot of times people that come through call me Mary. I don't fit that bill right now. I'm trying, but I haven't fit that bill yet. Mary's House is a facility for women with substance use disorders and their children. Mary's House is unique in that way because the children come with the parents and both can heal together. Children definitely need healing. But we can have up to 8 families. I've had 14 children at one time, which was exciting to me. Because my passion, I have a passion for children. This is partly why I do what I do, because children don't have a voice. They depend on their moms, their dads, to guide them, to support them, to nurture them. So this is partly why I do what I do. The women come to Mary's House. They don't have to be sober, but when they come across that threshold, that's when sobriety starts. I think about the women that have gone through Mary's House and what we've accomplished with a large percentage of them. What we do at Mary's House, we give them classes, we give them training, we give them life skills. We assist them with that. We don't give, we assist them with that. So we have a joint program with NC and ANT, the corporate extension, that help us with nutrition, parenting, financial management, home care, and some other skills that we need to keep this holistic approach. Mary's House is faith-based. Mary's House came out of a faith community. What I like to do and what I want to do is to be sure that these women can go out into society and do what we all do. I want them to also be able to help others. I want them to be able to work. I want them to be able to pay taxes, to parent their children, to take vacations. All the things that I think sometimes we take for granted, they've never had. Most of the women that I have at Mary's House, and I've looked at thousands of applications, they either had trauma in their lives, and this is why they self-medicate. They've been abandoned. They've gone through extremely tough times, especially out there on the streets. They have children, and of course, I'm straightforward with this. They have abandoned their children. They're the same household. You know, I never thought about being abandoned or not having nurturing or not having a bond with my mother, being in the same household. But these children are left to feed themselves at a very early age. Mom is somewhere in the house doing drugs. And I also noticed that children, it's always in the eyes. Children look into their mother's eyes and know that something is not right. And I've seen so much of that. To where the substance has changed their behavior, changed their way of thinking. Children as early as birth can see at Mary's house, I think I wear several hats. I also think sometimes, basically, is I'm the mom. I'm the mom that they didn't have because I'm very stern. Coming across that threshold, we start on honesty, we start on integrity. But I think they also want that. You know, I usually get the ones that are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they're ready to come in. I usually get the ones that, and by all means, yeah, my professor told me I couldn't save everybody. I can try. I can try. And out of that may come about 3 to 4. But I still don't think I've done my job until I don't give up. I feel like sometimes I fail someone, but I don't give up. Because they're human and they need the same thing we all need. For someone to work with them. For someone to believe in them. At Mary's house, I think I stated we can have up to 8 families. They do go to NA and AA meetings. We transport them to the doctors and to other activities. I try to have activities for the children. I also have intervention for the children because they need to understand what their mom has gone through at on a developmentally appropriate basis, but they do need to understand what their mom is going through. I also wish I could have their parents there because their parents don't understand what has happened to their children, don't understand why they take money from them or steal from them or lie to them. They don't understand how the drug works on them and how they work on the drugs. So I also want to do a project of bringing parents in because parents are left out of that loop of understanding their children and where their children are and how to get their children back. I spoke earlier about it's interesting to see a person that the difference of conforming or transforming. I'm able to watch a transformation of a person understanding what their child needs as far as parenting is concerned, what their child needs as far as the cognitive, the social-emotional aspect of growing or developing, to understand that their behavior has changed. I have many stories. I have a story of one of my clients, her behavior and how she spoke. It was what I call streetwise. The dress, the hair, the makeup, it was all out there too. It was in the streets. And I saw a change in her. I saw a big change in her. She went to childcare to pick up her daughter. And she ran into a person that looked exactly like she did, and the behavior was the same when she first came in. And she asked me, she said, "I'm so embarrassed. Did I look like that? Did I do that?" And I said, "Yes, you did." She said, "Oh, my gracious. I am so glad that I'm here." She said, "I don't want to look like that again." I said, "That's when you start changing from the inside out. And your children will see that." I have other stories where I've had children, I've had them since the age of 3. And to see them go into, it's their mother changing the change where this child entered into middle college. That's breaking a generational cycle. I've had grandmothers, mothers, granddaughters. Granddaughter was pregnant. I've had 3 generations. And I think for me, the biggest thing is breaking that intergenerational cycle. Assisting them. Because I don't do it all myself. I think I told you I was on a path. Between me and God. Yeah. Because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it alone. Mary's house is We're trying to move forward. We're trying to, the population that I have, mothers and children, want to continue with that population. I get 9 to 10 calls per day. Most important, we try to work with pregnant mothers. Pregnant mothers that did not know until they entered jail or entered or had to go to the doctor for one reason or another. They didn't know they were pregnant until they're 2.5, 3 months. That's a very important start, where they don't know they're doing drugs and that they're pregnant. That shows up in the children, and it shows up in ways that processing issues. Not at the beginning, but when they turn 3, when they start entering preschool, then you start seeing the ADD, ADHD, the ODD, the processing. You think that they are, they're terrible twos. No, these children are angry. And it shows up in kindergarten, especially with boys. The anger, and the anger comes from being abandoned. The anger comes from being in environments that they have no idea of what's going on. The anger comes from not knowing what to expect. Your children are fine when they know what's coming next, but in this particular setting, they don't. Children act out because they want some kind of attention, any kind of attention. So this is what I do with Mary's House Moms. I work with them inside out. I have to. I started a small project with them to see how the children and how they would behave in church. And so I took them to this small church that was in a gymnasium. And it was no more than about 8 or 9 people there. But I did this because I wanted them to connect. I wanted them to, if they don't want to go, that's fine, but I wanted them to be able to see how their children act in church. We talked about church. We talked about Sunday school. And the children, the first time they did, run around and they did stay in and they cried. And then the next time they started singing with the preacher's wife. And the next time they sat. And now they are going to different churches. Out of 8, 6 go to different churches. 6 of them go to church. 6 families, I'll say. So I'm trying to bring in all kinds of small projects or small things that I can assist them with to make, I feel like these things help make their lives a little bit whole. You know, food for the soul is what I look at. But I'm trying to bring in things and support for them because I want them to be able to flourish, to grow. I want their children to grow, especially their children. The moms are already adults. The children have yet to get there. And that's what I look at. The children having a voice, having a choice. And the only way I can do that is through the mothers. And the only way I can do that is through the support of the community. Yeah. We're close by, 4 minutes away. I told Charlene, I said, I could have walked here. That's just how close we are. And a lot of times people don't know that we're nestled in that Westerwood community. Yeah. But I'm passionate about Mary's House because I'm passionate about children. I did it one time. I taught preschool and adults at UNCG. And my internship came to me. I came to Mary's House. And I started facilitating parenting class. And that was 2003, 2005. And I didn't go back. I didn't go back to preschool. I stayed at Mary's House. It was something that was uplifting to see a parent get that aha moment, to see a parent have goals and reach those goals, to see a parent reading to her children or her child or playing or taking them on outings. That's what I see for now, and that's what I see in the future.